We're joined by the Premier, Alan Windey. Alan, good afternoon.
Afternoon, John.
What news?
Well, we've had to make some tough decisions this week around our testing because that's been a real difficult one. I've always been the guy that testing, because that helps you understand where you're going and how you can manage. And, of course, our testing backlog is just growing. We're now at 28,000 in backlog. And, it's a big, big problem. South Africa is trying to fix it at the moment. And we're also trying on our own. We can get some UCTs doing some quick setup for us. But that's going to be probably 500 tests a day. It's still too few. But
That, Alan, how reliable are the stats that are being put out in an email? You know, you go from lunchtime to lunchtime and then sometime around here in the afternoon, you say these are the latest numbers, these are the deaths, these are, well, obviously the deaths, that is reliable, and the people in ICU and high care and in hospital,
correct,
those are reliable. But the number of, you know, positive people in the Western Cape, how reliable is that stat that you give us daily?
That's exactly my problem. So we're measuring what's coming through the system, and we have been told that we're getting a greater percentage now compared to many other provinces, because we do have the higher number, but our backlog is still growing. So the numbers that I can put my head on the block with are the hospital numbers, the ICU numbers, the death numbers. And of course, I watch those quite closely. Also, in respect of our modeling, because if you remember, we're supposed to be doubling every 8 days. And I get a little bit of comfort noting that our numbers are not actually doubling 8 days. They're a little bit less than that. So we're probably doubling every 9 to 10 days. So it seems as though we're still on course, even for our first modeling. But, of course, we know that it's starting to pick up now. That's my big problem. My big Achilles heel is testing. So now we've had to make a really tough decision, and that is, you know, are we just going to carry on like we are, or do we actually change our regime? So we've decided to change it, and we're now going to focus our testing, you know, even more so, and it's going to be in our hospitals to make decisions in the hospital, as well as testing our frontline staff. And then outside of hospital, amongst the public, we're going to be focusing on people over 55 and people with comorbidities. So the tests are saved for them. And everyone else, we are saying, please bear with us. We're trying to fix this as best as we can. As soon as we get answers, I know the president's been making calls internationally as well. As soon as we get testing back up to scratch, we'll test everybody. But until then, please just allow us to test those that are really needing those tests.
Alan, the hospital and ICU numbers, how close are we to... We must be getting quite close in terms of ICU beds in the public sector to not having any more available, or do we still have some elasticity there?
Correct. No, we're right at the limit of our own beds. So
And Zweliem Kiese said, sorry to interrupt, but Zweliem Kiese said at the end of his two-day visit down here that by the end of that day, he would announce a private-public sector partnership, but that hasn't been announced.
No, but what we did get the go-ahead is that what we will do is start to use the public sector beds. Private sector beds, and we will finish the negotiations. Obviously, that's not the tidiest thing we want to have, but we are now going to be using the private sector beds.
And the private sector beds are not going to be enough if your modelling is correct. So how close are we, given the modelling and the rate of infection and the percentage of infected people needing ICU care, how close are we to running out of ICU bed space completely in the province?
Well, if you remember, we said 750, we would not be able to fill that gap.
Yeah.
And that's pushed up to now just over 900. But there is some good news. And that is the high-pressure oxygen is definitely our own Tigerberg specialists and ICU doctors are actually finding better success from high-pressure oxygen, or nasal oxygen, as they say. And we're seeing the same thing coming from international. So we are doing lots of conversions. That is a much easier conversion within our hospitals. So they're busy repiping bigger pipes going into our existing oxygen systems. So that definitely is a big difference for us. And I'm not sure if we're going to be able to make up all 900, but we definitely will be able to make up quite a few more, because we've been changing that now in the last day or so.
And general hospital space? What's the sort of situation in terms of we're going to run out of those at this point, but it doesn't matter particularly because all of the overflow stuff, which is being built in Khayelitsha and CTIC and so on, that capacity will be online at the same time or even before we need it.
Correct. So Khayelitsha, in actual fact, have started taking beds already. So that's the extra 68 beds in Khayelitsha. And we're moving forward the opening of the CTICC to tomorrow, so that by Monday we can start taking up our CTICC beds as well.
And you will have patients who will need those CTICC beds.
Yeah, it looks like by Monday we will need to probably start to take up those beds.
Yeah, it's an unpleasant situation, Alan. It really, really is. Cyril Ramaphosa, the president, is, I think he might already have arrived, but he's going to be
with us tomorrow.
He's going to be with you tomorrow. I mean, it's we're still talking. We still have the situation where Cyril Ramaphosa says the scientists tell us that the lockdown levels don't matter to transmissions and infections and the number of those, but the WHO says open cautiously. So government still keeps telling us that in its policy arsenal is the prospect of going back to level 4, level 5 lockdowns, even though their scientists are telling him that whether it's level 5 or level 1, it ain't going to make any difference to the spread of the infection. I mean, what's your view on this? What, if this comes up, as I presume it will, with the president tomorrow, what will you be saying to him?
So I think that where we're at now, I'm quite happy that we are still on track with what our epidemiologists are telling us. And in actual fact, we've been open in level 4 from level 5 long enough to see whether it's going to make a big difference on our deaths. And we're actually on track. In actual fact, I haven't done it on today's numbers, but on yesterday's numbers, if we go back 8 days, it says we would have been on 714 deaths, and so far we've logged 601. It says that we should have 356 people in our ICU, and we were on 194, and 1330 in hospital, and we were 1003. So, I mean, if I look at that, I'm not seeing an exponential growth because of the relaxing of the lockdown. So I suppose my words would be, I think that we have, or we're opening up slowly enough, and that there are sufficient people in the system that are wearing their masks and following, you know, the golden rules. But of course I say that also reservedly and cautiously, because it is tough. It's hard to make these decisions. And I mean, just as much as we're getting the models saying that in actual fact we need to double or at least put another 800 beds into the RCCT. I mean, at the same time, I've got other modelers coming and saying, no, but you've already passed your peak. I mean, it gets really, really tough. But I'm just watching those numbers that I know are accurate. And the other ones, that when we get testing right, we'll be able to get back to where we should be on the testing. But those numbers that I know accurate tell me, you sort of build trust with the modelers that are saying this is where we should be by then. And so that helps me also when we make those decisions. But tomorrow's discussion is going to be about some other things as well. William Pizzi is saying we need to have more people in isolation and quarantine, and I agree with him, especially if we can't be testing our vulnerable. We need to be actually trying to isolate them more. So if you're in a high-risk area, fast growth, can we actually offer you an isolation bed in one of our facilities, because we know that that's going to protect you in your region. So we're going to have to change and probably increase our number of isolation and quarantine facilities. But there will be a lot of the discussion will be about that and funding of it as well.
Thank you very much to Premier Alan Windey.